You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, April 25th, 2025. Coming up this hour, we will have a forecast from Brittany Merlot in just a second, including for the second round of the NFL draft at Lambeau Field. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will be here, along with journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, our Week in Review panel. We'll talk about some of this week's headlines coming up, including on a serious note, sentencing yesterday for the person who engaged in a mass shooting at a parade in Illinois, killing seven people, and almost did the same in Madison a couple of years back. So we'll talk to Jim Santel about that. Dan Schumacher will be along later this hour. We'll talk a bit about the NFL draft and who got picked throughout the NFC Central, of course, as well. And then in our next hour, our 8 o'clock hour, our new third hour, we will talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley about the folks in the Trump White House who want to come up with some kind of a national plan to encourage women to have more babies. But, you know, not give them the things that moms say that they need that would encourage them to expand their families. And then we'll wrap things up by talking to Devin Remicker, one of the candidates to be the next state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's the current executive director of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. So all that is coming up. Just a reminder, if you missed our last hour, you can do a couple of different things. You can go over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And from there, you can learn all about the shows and the stations. You can, as well subscribe as a podcast. So listen back to the shows or at the Civic Media website or as a podcast. We'd love to have you up to date on everything that we're talking about. We're talking about the weather right now with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Greg Bach is down at Radio Park as well. And Brittany, I don't know what the whole evening was like, but a couple of different times I was noticing the lack of like a downpour or anything on the 205,000 people in Green Bay yesterday for the draft. And it seemed like, looking at the radar, like this big old blob of rain was running from like Rochester, Minnesota, through the Chippewa Valley, through Wausau, then up to like Iron Mountain in Marquette, Michigan. And that Green Bay was just to the east of it and kind of missed a big chunk of it, which was rather nice. It was kind of like a good NFL, lineman, just kind of blocking, keeping that all away.
Yes.
Well, and that ends our sports talk for today, everybody. So.
Wow.
It was pretty cool to see, like you said, the rain was filling in everywhere else, but leaving the Fox Valley alone for a wonderful night for them. I don't think today, at least when the gates open at noon, is going to be much better, unfortunately. We do have that rain that wants to push in right at noon into Green Bay and lasting through about 5 o'clock now. So the heaviest hours of rainfall will probably be from 1 to 3 in Titletown, but it's not looking like a lot of rain. A lot of areas in Wisconsin already picked up 1/4 inch to 1/2 inch today, and they're just looking at 1/10 inch. So you are really, really lucking out in Titletown. It is going to be decent rain. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to get a heavy downpour soaking. You're just going to need the poncho. It'll just be a few hours and it'll clear on out of here. High temperatures, though, only hitting about 50. And with the winds gusty around 20 miles per hour, I think it's really going to be feeling like the low 40s out there today, plus the rain on top of it.
But you were saying the heavy stuff's throughout the day. But the next round starts at like 6 o'clock Central Time. So you're saying by evening things will be better.
Yep. So for TV, we're going to look perfect. But if you're going there for the festivities, anywhere between noon to 5, you're going to get some rain.
Okay. But the rest of the weekend looks good.
Yes, it does. We have a gorgeous high pressure system moving in. It's actually going to clear our clouds far northwest early this evening. That'll work its way through the state overnight. So we'll be waking up tomorrow to beautiful temperatures in the mid 50s to low 60s, plenty of sunshine, and that holds for most of us on Sunday. However, we are looking at a few scattered showers that want to move through the north Sunday afternoon. And then Monday, we've got some severe weather headed towards the state.
Yes, that is mentioned in just a minute here by Rob in Tigerton, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy, rain, 44 degrees. We need the rain as we are getting into the growing season. I was busy getting all the trees trimmed and loose limbs from the March ice storm. I was happy the Packers got a wide receiver in the first round of the NFL draft last night in Matthew Golden. Brittany will have to be weather savvy on Monday with the possibility of severe weather late Monday. To which Brittany's like, don't tell me how to do my job.
She wow.
Knows. Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Rob's giving us the forecast on the forecast.
Rob notes a 5/100 of an inch of rain in Tigerton. Again, right there on the edge of the rain. And have a great weekend to three of the best people on morning radio and social media every day.
Thanks, Rob.
We appreciate that, Rob, very much. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you a little later.
Sounds good.
All right. A reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. It's National License Plate Day, commemorating the start of license plates starting in New York State this week in 1901, and a little bit about Wisconsin's license plates as well. Mr. Bach is part of the team of Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, coincidentally. Matinere on Air, which follows this fine program, and I believe you will be recombobulating at some point today.
Absolutely. We're going to have Dan Schaefer on the show in the second hour at 10 because we have new hours, 9 to 11. Dan will be coming onto the show talking about the draft, probably talking about the Bucks and all the news happening coming out of Madison, Milwaukee, all over the state and all over the country. You never know. But that starts at 11 in this. I'm sorry. I tried. I wanted so hard.
You were so there.
So close. He'll be coming in the 10 o'clock hour, and then we'll wrap up the entire show and wrap up the week as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
All right. Hey, do you still have the draft audio handy of the Packers pick?
I would like to play
that again. I'll set it up for folks because I went to bed before the Packers. They drafted 23rd. There was no way Grandpa was staying up for all of that. And so for folks who hadn't heard it yet, hadn't heard the news, the Packers have become legendary, or should I say a running joke, for never picking up receivers in the draft, and it gets some fans rather frustrated. So give a listen to this next 90 seconds or so, minute plus of Mark Murphy coming up and announcing the Packers pick, and the crowd goes wild. So do the TV announcers. Give a listen.
With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver.
Listen to this crowd.
Oh, baby.
Matthew Golden, wide receiver of Texas.
And he's here. And he's here.
I'll tell you what, timing is everything. You wait till the draft is in Green Bay. You go get a man for the green. Rip this any better. Everybody in this entire crowd wanted a wide receiver, Rich, and they came through for him.
Listen to this crowd.
Literally, the crowd went wild, and you had the Go Pack Go cheer going on for quite a while after that. So while I missed it live, it was great to listen to it this morning. Hope you enjoyed it as well. And Greg, all we can do now is lift our expectations too high, right?
Exactly. Well, we're going to... We'll take that Super Bowl ring now, please. Thank you very much, right? Is that what we do as Packer fans? Should I watch more football this season, Pat?
No. Keep it just where it is. Okay. We're just the right amount because, again, we set those expectations too high. You just get your heart broken.
There you go. That's right. I'm already a Brewers fan.
Let's talk about that. The Brewers fell short, lost 3 out of 4 in San Francisco, 6-5 yesterday. Christian Yelich misplayed a routine sack fly, allowing the go-ahead run to score. So the Brewers move on to St. Louis for a 3-game series starting tonight, and the coverage begins at 6:40 on several Civic Media radio stations. And, of course, the Bucks are down 0-2 in their best of seven series against the Indiana Pacers. The game is tonight in Milwaukee, and you can catch it on NBA TV outside of the Milwaukee market. Let's bring former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel in here for a moment. He's going to be part of the rest of the panel with Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob coming up in just a bit. But Jim, I want to take care of a pretty serious matter here first, just because it was in the courts, and that was sentencing yesterday for the Highland Park, Illinois parade shooter and its tie-in to Madison. Can you tell us a bit about what the sentencing was that was handed down for that mass murder?
Absolutely. This is Robert Crimo, C-R-I-M-O. He was the person who on 4th of July parade in Chicago, Highland Park, not too far away from where Greg is this morning, and you and I as well, just a northern Chicago suburb, and open fire. And he was sentenced on Thursday to seven consecutive life sentences. That is reflective of the fact that seven people were killed in that melee, one a life term for each of the people killed, and also sentenced to a 50-year term in prison for each of the 48 people who were wounded at that parade as well. Literally in excess of 1,000 years, significantly not eligible for parole. At the time of the sentencing, Judge Victoria Rossetti, she's a Lake County Circuit Court judge, says that he is irretrievably depraved, demonstrating no remorse for his actions. No sentence, she said, can ever change the events of July 4th, nor can it compensate for the loss of a loved one. 2 days of hearings just these past couple of days, presented by victims, families, others affected in the community. Again, another sobering reminder, not only of our great problems here in America related to guns, and yes, indeed, this was assault weapon again, but also the ways in which it can and does affect all of us. He plainly had some plans also to come to Madison, plainly apprehended before that happened, and we don't know what kind of carnage that could have followed that as well. But again, a time of reflection on who we are as a nation, thinking not only about the victims there and the others who were injured, but also what we need to do desperately in this nation to address guns. The Illinois legislature did respond. The Supreme Court continues to require that you focus on the past in order to justify present regulations, reasonable, rational regulations when it comes to guns in America.
This was in 2022, the 4th of July, when this happened. And yes, again, after what he did in Highland Park, he came up to Madison and I guess scouted out potentially a 4th of July parade that was going on. And then ultimately, for whatever reason, decided not to and disposed of the weapon. But thankfully, because alerts had gone out, witnesses were looking and recognized the car that they were told about and were able to tip off police and make that arrest. So we thought we would bring a little bit of closure to that. Jim, of course, will have much more about this and so much more on Amicus Law Review Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media stations around Wisconsin, played back on Sunday as well. You can get all the details at civicmedia.us. So we'll look forward to all of the coverage that you're going to have on that. And, of course, everything that's coming up in our Week in Review panel coming up in a little bit throughout the course of this hour. So here's what we've got still ahead here from the Civic Media Radio Network here live from Lake Wissota. It's our full Week in Review panel with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze joining the conversation. Then in our 8 o'clock hour, we will talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley and the Donald Trump plan to make more babies in America, which is really odd given all the other ways you could address a worker shortage in this country. We will have a live conversation with Devin Remiker. He's candidate for chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party as well. And, of course, more reaction to the NFL draft. The green and gold flannel shirt is out today for a reason. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlau.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Uh, Never one to engage in hyperbole. Tony writes on YouTube up in Ashland, the Mount Rushmore of journalism. Well, okay, we'll take it. That, of course, would be Jennifer Schulze and also Mark Jacob and, of course, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel joining us as well, our Week in Review panel, all right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. How are we doing, everybody?
Good. Happy Friday. Okay.
All right. Look, look at that. We made it through another week here. And so we'll get into the stories that were covered throughout the course of the week, of course. But you all have your own writings and programs. And, of course, we just talked about how Amicus Law Review Jim's show can be heard on Saturday mornings. Of course, Jennifer Schulze has her newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, that you can get at Substack. Search out at News Jennifer for that. And Mark Jacob, of course, has Stop the Presses. You can get that at stopthepresses.news, along with his On Target video series with Stephen Beschloss. And Mark, let's start with what you wrote earlier in the week, a column that picks up on, I mean, you kind of write it as these are the things that traditional media could do to, what, salvage their reputation, do a better job. Though the fact of the matter is it really is more of a, here's how they're screwing up. In case you didn't know, I mean, we know, but there's still a lot of people that look at this and don't quite get where they're falling short in their mission to inform Americans.
Well, I mean, my view of it is that they helped bring us to this point, which is really sad. And but it's not too late. I mean, frankly, Pat, it's almost too late. I mean, it's time for everyone to step up and do what they can to, you know, prevent the rise of fascism. I mean, that's what's happening. I mean, you know, Trump is targeting his enemies, having the Department of Justice go after people just because he doesn't like them. I mean, it's kind of nuts out there. And the media have helped bring us to this point. So I just listed five ways the news media could redeem themselves. One is say directly that Trump is overthrowing democracy. Lose the weasel wording. I mean, you still get stuff in the New York Times where they say that Trump has a maximalist view of his powers. And or the Washington Post saying Trump's ever-shifting relationship with the Constitution. Well, you know, say he's attacking the Constitution. Say he's doing illegal things. Use the word lawless. I mean, there are things they could do to be, you know, be less weaselly. Now, the other second thing was cover the mass protests as major news. We've had a couple huge weekends of protests in the last month. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of towns having protests. Some news outlets covered it well. Most did not. The New York Times, for example, was terrible. You know, they had one picture below the fold one day, you know, and stuffed a little story way in the back. This is a really big story of what's going on now, that people are getting outraged and active.
Hey, and don't forget what you called it. You called it an outpouring of patriotism.
Yes,
and that's
what it is.
Exactly what it was.
It's positive news, and boy, yes, we need that. But then you had this, you know, the public editor at National Public Radio, Kelly McBride, said that, well, NPR's coverage was okay because, quote, as a news event, it wasn't very compelling. I mean, you know, we're talking 3 million people get out on the street and wave signs and say that the president is terrible. Well, that seems like pretty compelling to me. Anyway, the third thing that I want to mention is treat White House briefings as the travesty they are. Because it's a joke. They've invited a bunch of goofball right-wing nutcases in to ask questions or to say stuff like, quote, you look great. You're doing a great job. That's what they said to Caroline Leavitt, the official professional liar, who is in charge of their briefings. But my view of it is they give three options. Boycott the briefings, send interns to the briefings and to roll tape, but don't ask any questions. Or send your top reporters to the briefings and have them aggressively dispute the lies, including interrupting them in the middle of the sentences and saying that they're not telling the truth. Then when you get kicked out, at least you'll have your pride and you won't be part of the circus. And just to wind it up, there are two others. I said, show Trump's cuts. Show that how it hurt people. I mean, you know, don't just make it a Washington story where people are getting laid off and it's going to hurt bureaucrats. Yes, it's going to hurt bureaucrats. And I think that's terrible, but it's hurting regular people. It's hurting, you know, it's going to hurt Head Start. Little kids are not going to get their early start in education because, you know, Trump doesn't give a damn. And so get to the people who all around the country who are being hurt by this. That's what journalists are supposed to do, is go out and find people who make the news. And that's not just politicians in Washington. And the last thing was, is that they need to get on this way that Trump is wrecking the economy and make it clear that fascism is bad for the economy, that this kind of corruption and, you know, and just kind of wanton destruction of important institutions is just, it creates this chaos. And this, you know, this tariff stuff is just wrecking the economy. And the news media need to make it clear. They need to tie that to Trump and his policies and not just say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. There's plenty we can do about it, which is push back on Trump.
So, Jennifer, Mark has put together this essay. He has submitted it to you in his in your Journalism 301 class. What kind of a grade do you give it?
I think it's an A.
Okay.
Because it speaks to a lot of the really pressing matters that we're facing right now. And I want to pivot just a little bit to the protest part of it. Because it's really interesting to me how national media is and isn't responding to the protest, but local media is doing a much better job. Part of that is that's the remit of local news, right? And so if there's a protest on a Saturday, and frankly, not a lot usually happens on a Saturday. And so it's a, in a way, it's an easy story to cover. It's also obviously an important story to cover, but I am finding local news is doing a really good job of covering the protests in their communities. The same with the town halls. National news has trouble wrapping its arms around it to get the context and the depth and breadth of it, except for Rachel Maddow, who I think has done us a great service. Nightly, she does stories about local protests. She even frequently pulls so you can hear the local coverage of it, which I think is a really great thing for local reporters.
We'll pick it up after the break here, live from Lake Wissota, right after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's a Friday morning, April 25th, live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along with our Week in Review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Jennifer Schulze, and Mark Jacob. Mark Jacob has the Stop the Presses newsletter. You can get it at stopthepresses.news. You can also get it through Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News, along with all kinds of news stories and videos. Our links to newsletters that are affiliated with Courier, including Mark's, which this week is called Five Ways Major Media Can Seek Redemption. I'm going to add one onto it here, Jennifer. And that is, if the Secretary of Defense has been discovered sharing war plans with a text chain with a reporter, and then has another text chain involving his wife and what, brother or brother-in-law, something like that. Then it's discovered that he had the Signal app put on his Pentagon desktop computer. And what's this latest one, Mark? It's the same phone number that he used for Signal is tied to a fantasy sports account.
Right. And Facebook and WhatsApp. So he's just using it all over the internet.
So, Jennifer, the question I've got is why isn't every newsroom just beating the drum on this for the insane scandal it is, which makes whatever Hillary Clinton was doing, well, look properly like it wasn't anything like what it is now?
You know what? I think actually the media coverage has been pretty good. I think NBC News is out in front on a lot of it, and New York Times and Washington Post. I think the coverage is good. And one way I think we know that it's good, it's people in the country know about this. It has broken through in a way that a lot of things don't. And I think that's in part because of national and local news coverage. I mean, I always, you know, want banner headlines about things and screaming from the rooftops kind of stuff. But I do think the coverage has been pretty good. And I think now it will be relentless because there's so much there. We're getting now these different updates every day about stuff. I mean, even he spent thousands of dollars on a new makeup studio. Now, that's not the same thing as the Signal chat, but it's all part of a picture of just incompetence and distraction and just how inappropriate the guy is.
Exactly. And along the lines, Jim, of those distractions is, again, to divert from things that are scandalous, we get things like, you know, plucking people off the streets, going after Harvard. And one of the latest ones now is going after a website that primarily processes campaign donations to Democratic candidates known as Act Blue. And like so much that comes out of this administration, even if there is a grain, a kernel of something factual in there, they'll find a way to just wrap it in lies and conspiracies. What's happening with this Act Blue case that's right. been referred to the U.S. Department of Justice?
Yes, it is once again an incredible undertaking, if you will, that's being charitable for the White House, but it follows in the path. And again, it follows in the path of retribution, which was the president's campaign promise. We spoke on this program just a couple of weeks ago about the fact that the president has already referred these two fellows. His name is Christopher Krebs. He's a cybersecurity expert who said no. And in fact, the machines did not prompt the underreporting of the 2020 election results for Donald Trump. And then there was also this other fellow named Miles Taylor. He was the one who wrote the op-ed suggesting that there was a significant pushback inside the government. The president referred them, different agencies, for criminal prosecution, and now we get the third one. And to Jennifer's good point about, and your good point, and Mark's good point about focus, this is at the same level as these other things we've been talking about. Why? Because it indicates not only do we have a president who is now directing an attorney general who is adopting whatever the president says to open criminal investigations against people and now entities he doesn't like. Act Blue is the fundraising platform, as you just said, Pat, powers virtually every Democratic candidate, every cause out there. The president doesn't like it, obviously, would like to shut it down. There's no indication, which is also part of the threshold understanding before you open investigation, no suggestion whatsoever that there's criminal activity at all. If there is something, the Federal Election Commission, as with all of these funding platforms, they're the ones who've got it. Trump says he's asking for a report on what they have done, specifically illegal donations, straw donations, and also donations from international foreign donors, all of which would be a federal crime, of course. Again, no indication, no scintilla of proof, but let's open up a file now on Act Blue. Let's investigate them. Of course, the Act Blue attorneys have looked, as said, and the leadership has said there's nothing here. But as we so often said, it is the investigation that is the punishment. And that's right. What Donald Trump knows.
And that's the thing that, again, the media can do their version of investigations, looking into things. And if time allows, I want to come to Trump having a private dinner for all the investors, quote unquote, that invested in his crypto coin. We'll go to that for Mark. But Jim, I want to stick with you for just one more thing. And I talked about it an hour ago with the Department of Transportation, Trump's Department of Transportation and Secretary Sean Duffy, trying to keep New York City from having what's called a congestion pricing setup that you have to pay more if you want to bring your car onto Manhattan. And it's working. It's keeping, you know, fewer cars are coming in, polluting the air, clogging up the road. So, of course, the Trump administration is going after it. And I guess in the Southern District of New York, the U.S. attorneys there mistakenly, quote unquote, filed something that was actually supposed to be a confidential memo, which was their legal advice basically to Sean Duffy and to Donald Trump saying, this is a flimsy case. We can't win this. But it got filed instead. And so now, of course, the Trump administration has taken the case away from the Southern District. They're trying to say it's an embarrassment for the Southern District. To me, it sounds like, can't prove it, sounds more like, you know, these people in this office kind of knew they were on the way out anyway. So you may as well let people know just what a fool's errand and a waste of taxpayer resources this was. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think it was a genuine mistake.
The U.S. attorney there, of course, has to say, yes, indeed. Oops, we goofed. On the other hand, these are internal memorandums, as you could well imagine. I wrote many of them. Assistant United States attorneys write them all the time. Internal is the point, right? And the notion is we want to talk with your client, the government, the Department of Transportation in this case, to tell them what the reality is. And this memo was kind of a doozy. It said, basically, we're going to lose This notion of pushing back on the congestion pricing program doesn't have any legs. This is not good. And saying internally what they regrettably cannot say publicly, perhaps should say publicly, trying to get the department and the Department of Transportation, Sean Duffy, to say, hey, let's back off on all this. Whether it was intentional or not, it discloses reality, which is, once again, what you would expect from Department of Justice lawyers to say, here's what's really going on. And again, the fact, this is, once again, what we do is when we don't want what the lawyers do, what do? We get rid of them. The same happened to the attorney before Judge Zinnes, who acknowledged to D&D that Abrego Garcia was improperly taken and deported. What do? We make it even more of a story by saying, now we're going to get rid of the attorneys and we're going to pull it to Maine Justice, where presumably those civil division attorneys won't make this kind of mistake. It's bad all around.
Mark, looking forward, in the first Trump term, there were people who knew things, and some things got leaked to reporters. But unfortunately, people who could have been sources and people who are reporters waited till after Trump was out of office and wrote a book about the things that they saw. Do you think that we've crossed some kind of a line and maybe we'll see more cases of insiders and reporters who learn inside information letting us know in real time instead of waiting years later for the book to come out?
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I think clearly there's a sense of urgency we've never seen before. I mean, maybe some reporters thought, well, they could save the information for the book and it is okay because it's just politics and it'll just go on. This is way beyond just politics. This is the future of our country, the survival of our democracy. So anyone who holds on to anything now is complicit. And, you know, I mean, I was furious at people like Bob Woodward, who withheld the fact that Trump admitted he was lying to the American public about COVID. You know, he held that for months and months. And so that's just unconscionable. So, yeah, I think I hope at least that the news media will just when they know something, they'll say it. And we are seeing that a little bit. And I mean, what I'm really worried about is that as these whistleblowers get identified and get fired, you know, because anyone who even looks like they might be talking to the press is getting fired in the Trump administration now, that ultimately you're going to have the only people who work for Trump are the people who are co-conspirators, you know, and you won't have any leakers anymore.
Let me throw a curveball at Jennifer first that we hadn't talked about previously. But when you mentioned, Trump, and I was thinking about things with Ukraine today, Ukraine this week, basically, and Marco Rubio saying, well, we're just going to pull out if the sides aren't serious. And Trump bashing Volodymyr Zelensky again, I don't think there was nearly enough media coverage of this that noted Trump was the one committing the crime of trying to blackmail Zelensky in his first term. It's what led to the first Trump impeachment. But the question I'd put is, plenty of folks have referred to Trump as a Putin puppet. Has he, especially if we walk away from Ukraine, have we earned the stronger title of Quisling? And I mean, at that point, we're going back to, you know, a guy who basically sold out his own country to serve the Nazis. I feel like we're really getting into that area if the U.S. walks away from Ukraine.
I think that this is probably the most important story in the world. And I'm not sure that it's breaking through, for example, like Signalgate did, which is also important. But the idea that we have joined forces with Russia, basically, right? And are saying Russia can have Crimea, no questions asked, and Ukraine can't join NATO. That is just a remarkable place for the United States to be. And I do think the seriousness of it and the inappropriateness of it and just how unprecedented it is not something that has gotten nearly enough attention. It is really a terrifying place that we find ourselves in.
And of course, Mark, I think, is going to take the bait with me as far as whether we've crossed the line from puppet to Quisling at this point by selling out Ukraine, because you're also selling out, I mean, the entire European alliance mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's just this is where Trump was going all along. And, know, I mean, just let's remember that he was trying to extort the Ukrainian president, you know, before the 2020 election. I mean, but finally he's at this place where he thinks he's powerful enough to where he can really betray Ukraine. And the thing that drove me crazy, Pat, was that his argument yesterday, Trump said that he was asked, what concessions is Russia going to make? And he says, well, they're not going to take over the entire country. Like, that's a
stunning. I mean,
that's crazy town for him to think that that's a concession. Oh, yeah. Well, to keep everything you've already stolen, but you're not going to be, you know, and all the people you killed and all the women you raped and all the high rise apartment buildings you blew up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not going to take the rest of the country. So that's quite a concession.
Again. Art of the deal, kids. It's all really? Art of the deal. Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, thank you all so very much. As always, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Take care.
Hey, still to come in our 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She was at the NFL draft in Green Bay. We're also going to talk about the Trump baby-making plan and Devin Remiker running for state Democratic Party chair. Remember, you can follow what we do at Up North News all day long at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back now at just about 7 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday morning. We're joined by Dan Schumacher up in beautiful Ashland as well to talk about sports heading into the weekend. And we will get to the draft. We will get to the Brewers. We will get to the Bucks. We might even get into the NHL playoffs because everybody loves playoff hockey. But we will start sad and serious because, Dan, I know as a Bears fan, this means a lot to you to know that just before the draft, everybody was notified that Football Hall of Famer and longtime Bears player Steve McMichael passed away due to complications from ALS at the age of 67. That is a real blow to the Bears community. Everybody knew it was coming, but it doesn't make it any less painful.
No, it was. It was. But boy, did he fight. He fought a long time in that battle with that disease.
Yes, he did.
He didn't give up at all, and his teammates were behind him. I know Jarrett Payton, Walter Payton's son, was by his side. He's a revered. He was a Green Bay Packer too. Remember, McMichael. Oh, yeah. And so, it's a sad day, and you know, but it was also an interesting day with the draft and everything that you just went through. So it was a heck of a sports day yesterday, if you ask me. I mean,
yeah,
I couldn't believe the end of the Brewer game.
Yep.
I mean, Yelich dropping that baseball. I mean, just, I guess they had a 30-minute closed door meeting as a team after that game yesterday.
Yep.
You've got the mainline story of the draft and who everybody picked. Packers picked a great wide receiver out of Texas, but I think the story of the draft is watching the Sanders kid, Deion Sanders kid, slip and not even go in the first round.
I know. I mean, and there are teams that are starved for quarterbacks, but for whatever reason said, well, maybe we'll let him cool his jets. And if he's available in the second round, then
I thought he was going to go to the Giants. Then the Giants turned around and traded their pick and went with the quarterback from Ole Miss. Dart is his last name. So they traded up for a different quarterback in the first round.
Remember when Aaron Rodgers fell to the to the Packers at 24. So the Bears with the 10th overall pick drafted Michigan tight end Colston Loveland. Just ahead of Loveland's drafting, Roger Goodell, along with noting Steve McMichael, also noted it was the 50th anniversary of the Bears tapping a running back out of Jackson State named Walter Payton as the fourth pick in the 1975 draft. Cannot believe that has been 50 years now since Walter Payton was drafted.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I know.
But it was a good sports day yesterday. I can't, you know, you couldn't it was an all day day for TV.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So just to round out the NFC Norris division here, let's see. The Vikings took an offensive lineman from Ohio State at 24 because they need some more quarterback protection. Detroit took a tight end, defensive tackle at the 28th pick. And the other thing Detroit gets to have bragging rights on is their opening night crowd was a little bit larger than the 202,000 people in Green Bay. But still, 202,000.
It was something to see, wasn't it?
It was that amazing.
A mass of people.
Yep.
It was unbelievable.
A mass of people that I want no part of. I mean, if you're on the periphery of that crowd, that's great. If you're way deep into it, I don't know what you're seeing.
I don't even know how you got to the bathroom.
No, well, that was stadium, my first concern.
Stadium pal, boys.
That's it. By the way, the note on the Brewers losing to the Giants 6-5 and losing 3 out of 4 to San Francisco is that when Yelich misplayed that sack fly, it was from Willie Adames. And Yelich, I mean, I was watching at the time, just a doink, you know, falls down, and the go-ahead run scores. The Brewers are in St. Louis now for a 3-game series that starts tonight. Coverage is at 6:40 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward.
The Brewer game was a good game.
It was actually a good game.
They were up 4-0 or...
Yep.
Or 3-0 like or whatever, yep. And then they let him back in slowly, and then the last inning they just fell apart defensively.
Yes, they did.
Like the Brewers.
Yeah. And it gives up my beautiful Chicago Cubs a 3-game lead in the division.
Yes, and the Brewers are going to stay on this road trip until next Friday when they come home to face the Cubs. So have they really come home? I think it's really just an extension of an already long 10-game road trip.
Give you a little local flavor. I'm at my kitchen table. I'm looking out at the lake, the Shawangan Bay, and there is about 20 tents in front of my shoreline here, all smelt fishing. The smelt are running.
Oh, hey, there you go.
That's culture, man. That's smelt for sale everywhere around here right now.
That is one good fish fry, let me tell you. Bucks are down 0-2, which means we can still say Bucks and 6. They can still come back and do this against Indiana game. Game 3 is tonight in Milwaukee, and you'd have to go to NBA TV to find it. And I have only this to offer on the NHL playoffs because I don't actually have the results or anything like that in front of me. But there was who the Caps were playing now, the Canadians. That was it. And I'm just going to sit and watch it. Anytime I come across playoff hockey, I'm just going to sit and watch. That is just some of the best sports action available.
You've had a pretty good run here at hockey yourself and your family.
Yes, with the Broncos
your son-in-law
there.
And yep. What a great picture of your up son-in-law there. And your grandkid and your daughter in behind the glass.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty awesome. The Western Michigan Final Four hat is on the bookshelf here behind me.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's been a good hockey year. Can't really complain about that one bit. So we'll continue to follow the NHL playoffs because they only last for another 2 months.
Today is home opener up in Ashland for Northland Baseball.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're finally not on the road anymore because of the weather.
The last dance.
The field is dry enough. It's dry enough. Good. So I know you got some rain down in Chippewa there, didn't you?
Yes, we did. And so that's okay. We need it. We'll take it. Dan, thank you so much. Have a good start to the weekend. Talk to you later, buddy.
See you, Greg.
See you, Dan.
And Greg Bach will be back for Matt and Air on Air starting at 9 o'clock across Civic Media Radio Network. Dan Schaefer joins the show at 10 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin home for Courier Newsroom. And this is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.